Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Crossroads. It's great to have you here at the 11:45 service, or the 12:05 service for some of you. You wouldn't think that's funny because you're on time, but it's for those people that are still rolling in. If you're in the atrium, we're starting. Get in here. My name's Robbie. It's great to have you guys here. We're kicking off a new series called Text, and we're talking about the way that... It's actually called Next. I just couldn't see it because Tony was in the way of the N there. It's called Next. We're talking about how do we grow? How do we move from one thing to the next thing? And I personally know there are times in my life, maybe you've experienced it too, where you hit a wall. You know, you realize, like, I am stuck where I am. I'm stuck in this rut, and I don't know how to move myself from this place to, like, the next part. Like, how do I get past this? And so over the next 5 weeks, that's what we're going to be talking about, and I'm excited, especially if you're just joining us, to be joining us in this series. I think this is going to be a really big deal for our community around here. One of the ways that I grow, and a lot of us grow, is that we take these, our thoughts, the things we're passionate about, the things that we believe, the things we're growing in, and we like to wrap them up with melodies and beats. And we often say that the songs that we sing around here are prayers set to music. And we're going to spend a little bit of time here singing some of those prayers. And we're specifically going to be singing about hearing God and even following God. And I recognize that that might be a bit of a jump. If you're just rolling in here, you know, and you're like, ah, man, that's crazy. People think you can hear God? Wow. I would say, I kind of do. And I would love to invite you into that conversation as well. And so I would invite you to sing these lyrics and try them on. You know, see what it's like to say, God, if you are who you say you are, then talk to me. I'm here. I'm listening. So why don't you guys stand up and we'll get started. Listen, listen, listen for the Lord. Listen, listen, listen for the Lord. His voice is quiet, but his voice is clear. I will listen, listen, listen for the Lord.
Open for the Lord.
My heart is hoping.
and listen for the Lord.
Can move from where we are to the next place is by imitating the posture of folks who have tried to follow God before us. And as we look through the Bible, there's example after example of someone who started just by listening, making themselves available to maybe encounter God, hear God, and then they moved after that. They took one step to begin that process, and it didn't always go perfectly, but I think what I want to imitate is the movement, is the growth from where I am to the next place. So I want us to maybe try that by just singing this simple prayer, regardless of where you are, just to sing this prayer that goes like this.
Lead me. Lead me. Lead me. Lead me.
Do that again. Sing, lead me.
Lead me from where I am. Lead me to where you are.
Thank you for this place, this big dark room that we can walk into and maybe leave our baggage at the door or even begin to drop it where we stand. I ask that you would help us to see you for who you really are, not through our scars or not through our own hurt or history, but for who you really are. So if that's a prayer that you would like to pray, to see God for who he really is, let's just sing that Lead Me again.
Lead me.
To sing with you guys like that. This is really a great thing. Thanks for singing along. Hey, I want to tell you about a couple things. One, this time of singing to God, singing about God, we do this in greater capacity, or more of it anyway. It's something called Last Wednesday, which we're doing this Wednesday at 7 o'clock at each of our sites. We'd love to invite you out. It's a great time of growing together as a community and growing closer to God at the same time. It's a beautiful, fun time. And if you've never been, I want you to come out and join us. The other way I'd love to invite you to engage is actually kind of a fun kid way to engage. This weekend, Kids Club is giving away a brand new CD called Love Beats. And it is... as being a musician and someone that lives with a handful of kids, I can tell you the CD is fantastic. In fact, the first song that we sang together, that Listen song, is on the CD. And it's a great, great tool for connecting with God outside of this place. So we'd love to have you check that out too. Now just turn to some folks around you, say hi, and grab a seat, all right?
Is full of friendly folks and we want to know your name.
From the wee ones barely 2 feet high to the big kids down the way.
We are Crossroads Kids Club and we're growing every day.
We're hearing from the Bible, we're dancing up a storm.
We're learning to love Jesus and we're coming back for more. We're a million smiles and stories and an awful lot of fun. We are Crossroads Kids Club and our story's just begun.
Yes. Isn't that awesome? I love Kids Club. I love Kids Club so much that if I could, I would go and have a baby right now just so that I could put them in Kids Club. That's how much I love them. But those days for me are done. So those are done. Hey, I'm David. I'm a volunteer around here. And I have your first public service announcement of the day. We love you. We love your kids. We love your little babies, your sweet little pumpkin precious babies that come here in pumpkin seats that are just so meek and mild and just love them. But sometimes they don't cooperate in this big space that we've created. And sometimes they get a little fussy, right? Maybe you've heard that a time or two in here. It happens. Kids get fussy. It happens. We just ask, I'm asking you, I'm David, I love you, we're friends. Please, when your baby gets fussy, just ask you, please just take them out to the atrium or into the cry room. We have a cry room on the first level here. We are, yes, we love you. We love you. We are one church with many locations, and we are one church with many locations within this building right here where you can go and enjoy the service and still get all that you want to get out of it. If you have ears, hear me, because if you don't take my heed, if you don't take the warning that I'm giving you today, then you got Brian who's going to be up here in the middle of a sentence, and your baby's going to be fussy, and he's going to call you out, he's going to call your baby out, and he might even call your baby ugly. I don't know. I'm not responsible for any of that. It'll be awkward. People will look at you. Please. Please. Okay? I'm your friend. All right. A lot going on around here. Today, 1 o'clock, meeting room A is a little thing we do called Context Live. Context Live, if you have any questions about why we do what we do and why we exist here at Crossroads, that's a place for you to go. Meeting room A, 1 o'clock after this service. Check that out. And one of the many questions that are asked in Context Live often is, what's this thing called CityLink? If you've been around here for a while, for the past 4 years, many of us in this room have funded CityLink. CityLink is a one-stop shop place that is really designed to just fight against generational poverty in our city, and I think we're making some ground. We're covering some ground in that area, so much so that over 100 clients of CityLink just in the past year alone have gone through the process there and now are gainfully employed. That is amazing. It's amazing. It's great. It's great. And so one of the many ways that if you'd like to help support CityLink and what's happening there is they have an event that's coming up on the 3rd of October called Mashup, CityLink Mashup. It's a grown folks only event, so you got to be 21 or over to go, so you got to leave your kids at home. It's a great date night. You have to buy tickets for it, and those proceeds of the tickets go towards CityLink. Lots of great entertainment, food. It's a great environment for you to go and check that out, so we invite you to do that. How many of you have ever heard of a thing called a go trip? Go trips. We got some veterans in here. When we go places, we go because we believe God says go and be the church. go be the hands and feet, and just go and make an impact on people. And so we do that in South Africa, in India, and also in New Orleans. You get great go swag when you go. These are soft, soft t-shirts, not your brittle cotton. These are soft. We have another opportunity for you to go. And our next big South Africa trip is coming up in March, and there are 150 slots that are open for you if you want to go to South Africa. So sign up. You can sign up today. Not right now, but after the service, you can go online, crossroads.net/go-trips, and check that out. If you want to know more about what this Go thing is all about, where we're going, why we're going, and how you can go as well, we have an informational meeting that's happening this Wednesday before last Wednesday, 6 o'clock here in Oakley, where you can get more information about that and be a part of that. I've been able to go on 2 Go trips myself to South Africa both times. Was there this time last year and went with my oldest son and my wife this time. And I can tell you, it's an amazing experience. You go there thinking you're going to get some stuff done, but there's more stuff that happens to you just in the people that you interact with, the relationships that you form in the midst of that Go journey. I would just highly, highly encourage you to consider that, consider going in March to South Africa or another trip throughout the year. Cool? All right. It's the time in our service where we're going to be generous. Generosity fuels all the great things that are happening around this place. The delicious beverage is in my cup right now, as well as Kids Club, the CDs that are being produced. Your generosity helps to make that happen. And so we want to invite you to participate in that. If that weirds you out, just let this disc pass you by that's coming. Or if you just, you know, want to be baller and pull out your iPhone 6, you know, feel free, don't drop it. You can go onto the app, because you probably already have the app on your phone, where you can just give in that way as well. But while that's happening, just want you to take a look at this, what could happen if you open yourself up to God as he was showing you what was next in your life. We're glad you're here.
We've all wondered what's next at some point in our lives. We get this vague sense that we're missing out, stuck in dead-end jobs, lifeless relationships, stale routines. Our grooves become ruts. We run ourselves in circles, looking for something new, fresh for that next step. So, what is next? What if we were wired for growth? What if asking what's next is what we were meant to do? What if the answer to what's next, whether we're looking for direction in dating, school, jobs, friendships, or family, was a spiritual one? Each of our spiritual journeys are unique, but they also have a lot in common. First, we seek. We ask questions. We search for the truth. We admit that we don't have the answers, but hope beyond hope that an answer exists. Eventually, we begin to trust and take a leap of faith to receive the truth of who God is and who we are. We let God love us. We start believing Jesus is who he says he is in the Bible and begin receiving our true identities as God's beloved children. The next step is to follow. When we follow, we quit negotiating and take action. We trust that God will guide us and we do what he says. We get disciplined, we work hard, we obey, and our lives are transformed. Now it is time to produce. God wants us to share what we know with our friends, helping them to seek, encouraging them to receive, and showing them what it means to follow. What's next? Seeking, receiving, following, producing. 4 simple steps taken over and over, transforming us into who God designed us to be. A team of producers who go after kingdom projects like flipping our city and changing the world.
Yes, that is good stuff right there. It is good stuff. And I'm hoping to communicate to you today how good it is and you actually want it more. We're talking about spiritual growth. How do I go to the next place spiritually? And so today I'm going to look at a 30,000-foot view of the different stages that everyone must go through if you are to grow spiritually. And then in the ensuing weeks, we're going to give more intensive time to each one of those stages. So let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for every life that's in here, every beating heart, every opportunity that exists right now to grow spiritually and in every other area of our life. And I'm also thankful that you give me the privilege of trying to produce that or being with you in trying to produce that. So help me to be clear. Most importantly, help me to be pleasing to you. May all that I say be in alignment with you and your heart. And I pray these things according to your character, the person of Jesus. Amen. You know, when we start talking about growth or going to the next thing, our society is increasingly woefully able to comprehend this because our society is increasingly just interested in extremes. Who's in and who's out? So we got through a Work Like a Boss series and our society understands stuff like employed, unemployed, blue collar, white collar. When it comes to politics, we understand things like left, right, Democrat, Republican. When it comes to spirituality, we have categories. You're in or out. You're religious. You're irreligious. Spiritual, unspiritual, going to heaven, going to hell, whatever it is. We have all these different categories, and maybe to some degree, that might be necessary. That might be healthy. But it doesn't really tell us what really is happening. What's going on in someone's heart with their perspective? What about the process in the midst of those categories of growth, of going to the next place? I mean, I'm not interested if someone's blue collar or white collar right now. I'm interested in, is this person a master, like we talked last week? Are they attaining mastery because they're hitting the same nail every day, and are they getting better and better and better at it? I mean, who cares anymore, left, right, Republican, Democrat? How about a category? How about a person who's going to the next place and being a selfless American citizen? How about that category? Wouldn't that be nice? A selfless American citizen. And when it comes to religious, irreligious, this, that, how about someone who is spiritually mature? Someone who is going to the new place? This is what we're looking at today, spiritual maturity. And the path to maturity is a progression. It's not a destination. And every one of us in here has different needs and different speeds. And my hope today and for the series is not to push you beyond where you're capable and wanting to go. It's rather to give you some handholds to understand what stage you may be in and what you need to think of if you're going to go to the next place. Because I want you to go to the next place. I want you to go to the next place. I want you to come to a place where you have maturity. And actually, this is the word that we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and following. It says this: Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Is it mature or mature? Mature, mature. Who says mature? Who says mature? Okay, mature, whatever. So mature, what have you spelled M-A-C-H-U-R-E? Mature? Alright, whatever. So, well, that verse, put that verse back up there. I got a little way late. That's an 11:45 special. I didn't think about that until you because I'm getting tired. Here we go. So, everyone mature in Christ. Now, this word here, mature, is a Greek word, teleos, which is also used in the Gospels to record Jesus' words, one of the seven sayings of Jesus when he's on the cross. He has his arms stretched out as he says, "It is finished." It is teleos. Teleos means complete. Jesus basically saying, "I've completed my assignment. I got it done. Get it done. I got it done." And so this says, we're doing things to present everyone in this room, anyone who wants to go to the next place, to a place of maturity. Why would we want to do that? Why would you want to be mature? Because you want more options in your life. This is a beautiful thing. When you get spiritually mature, a whole world of opportunities opens to you that you don't have when you're not spiritually immature. You're not spiritually mature. My daughter, who's 16 years old, my youngest daughter, she's been driving. It's awesome. It's great. Some parents get all freaked out about it. I'm like, no, awesome. Get the kids. Go away someplace. And it's also wonderful because we don't have to do taxi service. Drive them up, drop them off, come home, drive back up. It saves money. At least that's what I'm thinking it does. And it's wonderful. She has all kinds of new freedoms, all kinds of new opportunities and options. And here's the thing. She has a level of maturity, which I'm okay with that. But if she makes some bad choices before she gets into the car or while she's in her car, her options will narrow significantly. Her opportunities will go down. Because here's the thing. Your level, all of us know this who have kids. All kids are equal before God. All kids are created equal in the family. All kids are equally loved, but not all kids are equal in the family. Because you have to do certain things and reward certain things and give different opportunities based on maturity level. Being equal doesn't mean equal opportunity in the family. has to have maturity. In the same way in the spiritual realm. God loves all children, wonderful, but telling you, there's a block, there's a limit to your maturity, to your options, that's going to be based on whether or not you're going to the next place. The closer you go to God and with God, the more things open up to you. And this is what I want for all of us. When you're spiritually mature, you feel a connection with God. We all have our doubts from time to time, but you live with this pervasive connection and awareness for God. In fact, that connection is with you even when you're in pain. When you're in pain and spiritually mature, those who are less mature are going, oh, no, this is awful. I can't believe that this is taken. Maybe God doesn't exist. How does this work? When you're spiritually mature, those thoughts don't come. Well, they do come by your mind because we're all still human, but you don't hang out there because your maturity, what God's doing in your life, it gives you the ability to persevere and endure when the less mature can. When you're mature and you're going to the next place, you actually have less pain in your life. You have less pain. Why? Because you learn the way God has wired the cosmos. You learn the way God has wired relationships to operate. You learn the things about how to orchestrate your finances that come from the scriptures. You order all those things. And just like as soon as you understand gravity, you hopefully have less pain. When you start to understand the things of the spirit realm, you start to operate in that way. And the next thing, and you bring less pain on yourself. You have less calamities in your life. The number and the depth of the friendships that you have deepens. The friendships deepen and the number deepens. Why? Because people want to be around mature people. They want to be around people who have a level of gravitas, a weightiness to them. Now, immature people are good to hang out with like for a night. They're kind of fun for a night. And that's about it. I mean, the people that you want to hang around with, they've got a level of maturity. And this is the way it works in the spiritual realm. We have more success because we understand things that's got, not all success, but we understand some of the keys that unpack things. And your maturity is going to dictate the impact of your life. Spiritually mature people always have full funerals. Because spiritually mature people have been building into others and producing others, and they're always missed because there's just too few around. Spiritually mature people never have to go, gosh, what's my life accounting for? What's my purpose in life? What am I doing with my life? What's the point? No, you know the points, and you go after the point, and this creates a wake in your life that blesses, encourages, and helps people. You're not here on earth. You're not here on earth to be successful in so many other categories. The first and foremost and the all-pervasive category is your spiritual maturity that infiltrates every single aspect of our life. And the problem is, we could talk about being spiritually mature, but how do we know if we're spiritually mature, right? Again, in nearly every other area of life, you know if you're progressing, you know if you're going to the next place. So we just got done with a work series. If you do that work series, which all those principles came right from the Bible, guess what will happen? You will make more money. You will. You will actually have a review someday. Your boss or supervisor will sit down with you and say, boy, I noticed you're doing this really well. You're doing that really well. We're going to give you a raise. We're going to give you a new position. Because if you want to know whether or not you're doing well in the work world, the review does not lie. It doesn't lie. Financially, if you're trying to figure out, am I financially maturing? Am I going to the next place? How do I know if I'm doing well financially? Well, you take a look, and is your credit card debt going down? Is charitable giving going up? Is your savings amount going up? Because the numbers don't lie. We know, just look at the numbers. How about physically? If you're trying to go to the next place physically, how do you know? Well, you know, right? You look at things, although sometimes the things you look at are a little bit misleading. I had a physical, my last physical was like 6 months ago, and they weighed me, took blood work, all that kind of stuff, and they came back and I categorized as just overweight. I'm overweight. It's like, seriously, do these jeans make my butt look big? I'm just curious right now. I'm trying to figure this out, and I realized in connecting with people, well, they just take a look at your height and your weight, and they assume that, you know, you don't do any push-ups or pull-ups or anything, and you have little muscle mass. So if you have any level of muscle mass, then you're going to be registered. Oh, interesting. That makes me feel good. Thank you very much. And so I don't get on scales a lot, and I don't have a lot of muscle mass, but I don't get on scales a lot. Why is that? Because that number isn't necessarily helpful for me. How do I know if I'm okay physically? The belt doesn't lie. The belt doesn't lie. I mean, I see one on that. I like that notch right there. I might go down a notch, but no more stopping. Not gonna do it. I'm gonna stop it right there. I see myself hit that notch. That's it. Going to do something different. Now, all I'm saying is this. In every area of your life, you can probably see whether or not you're going to the next thing and making progress. How do you know if you're going to the next place spiritually? How do you know if you're deepening? How do you know if you're getting beyond where you are? How do you know? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, it says, "But I, brothers and sisters, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way?" So we see people here who are infants in Christ. They're connected with Christ, but they're infants, so they're immature. And he has a word for these people. The word is flesh. What does it mean to be of the flesh? Well, this is an area that we're going to get to for the rest of our time, this whole series. What happens inside the fulcrum point here, this focal point, what does spiritual growth look like? But first, we've got to realize that what does it mean for you to be in the flesh, to even not be spiritually growing? It means you could be a number of words. Maybe you're an atheist. You don't even believe in the spirit at all. Maybe you're a hedonist. Maybe you're a cynic, skeptic. In other words, you are normal. You are normal or you are average. All of us are born in the flesh, obviously. And all of us operate according to the flesh. The flesh is our natural inclinations, our natural desires. How would you know if you're in the flesh, according to this verse in the Bible? You would know it, but a couple marks for it. There's strife. Strife is regular. So what's that mean? It means there's gossip is common in your life. It's you're at odds with people who vote differently than you, people who have a different sexual orientation than you do, people who have different skin color than you do, people who live in different sides of the city. There's always just like, there's strife, there's anger. You know where to tune on the dial on the AM radio and where to go on the cable television show to find somebody that tells you you're right and everybody else is an idiot. You know exactly where to go. And that's normal. That's natural. That's natural. Or they give another example, jealousy. So what happens for you when there's somebody who you would see as a peer of yours who gets ahead of you, who dates somebody better looking than the person you're dating, who has children, more of them than you do, and better ones? What happens when there is somebody who you hang with and all of a sudden, for whatever's happened in their career, they start getting salary raises beyond you and they start having toys you don't have and they have, sorry, man, what? Now, if you're in the flesh, you're like, I talked about my butt. What happens if someone is losing, you want to lose it, if someone's losing more weight than you are? She's too skinny. That's too skinny. There's jealousy there. What does he think? He can't be driving. All this jealousy, this thing, this stuff is normal and it's of the flesh. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of other signs. These are just normal things that you do and you're not even concerned about overcoming, really. You're not even concerned about overcoming unless you're looking to get to the next place spiritually. Now, there was a person who operated in the flesh. He was one of the heroes of the Bible. Before he was a hero, he was a real scoundrel. His name, original name, was Saul. He later on gets given the name Paul. Paul was actually extremely religious and yet extremely in the flesh. So he was a Jew amongst Jews. He had scriptures memorized. I mean, he was like upper echelon religion. He was there. He was on it. And his countrymen and his other people within his spirituality started seeing that Jesus was the Savior. He was the awaited one. They started to say, "Hey, I want to receive him. I want that." And he was authorized by the religious authorities to go out and persecute. So he's going out making sure people pay for the fact that they're aligning themselves with this Messiah figure. And actually, he's participating in and approving of the killing of people. He's present when the first person is actually put to death for their faith. He's present and very, very approving of it. So he has a road to Damascus experience. Now, today in our country, most people have heard when you use the phrase road to Damascus, but don't even realize what that was. It was when Saul was on the road to Damascus to go to Damascus and persecute believers in Jesus, and he gets hit by God, bam, he goes blind, and he very soon after starts to become a seeker. This is the first stage of our spiritual growth. It's when we are seeking. It's when we're seeking. We're looking for something that we don't have right now. We're open to possibilities that are out there. And what normally causes to get somebody to seek is they hit a wall. There's a wall that exists between normalness and spiritual growth. There's a wall. Now, Paul, his wall is he's blind. Oh no, I can't figure this out on my own. He actually hears Jesus say to him, why are you persecuting my church? He hears this thing. And this is the thing that slams him and gets him to start seeking. And actually, on the end of the spiritual growth continuum, we'll get to that in a little bit, there's a producer. His name is Ananias. Ananias comes over to see Paul. He's sent to help him out and talk to him while Paul is blind. And he helps him understand what's happening. He helps him come to a new place. But you got to understand, he wouldn't be talking to him and he wouldn't be open to hearing from Ananias had he not hit a wall. I'll tell you what, just about all the time when someone starts seeking, it's because they've hit a wall. What are the walls? Maybe it's a cancer diagnosis. It's rocking our world. Bam, we hit a wall. Maybe we have a job loss. We have a job loss and we're financially stressed. Bam, you know, we hit the wall. Maybe we have our first kid. Our first kid, we hit a wall. It's like, oh, how am I going to pay for this financially? And I don't intellectually know how to raise a kid. I know, I need to get me to church. That's like, I need to go to Crossroads or our First Methodist or First Lady of Lutheran, whatever they are. I need to go someplace where they can help me out, figure out who God is, and help me with my kids because I'm really, it's a wall. Other people, it might be, it's unending the number of walls. One of them actually could be you're divorced. That's another wall. Another one could be you've achieved all the things that you set out to achieve. You're actually way beyond where you thought you'd ever be, and you still find yourself thinking, "Man, is this it? Like, is it really? I still haven't found what I'm looking for." Who's got the new U2 song, U2 CD from Apple? Anyone got it? No one does in here. No, I haven't downloaded it yet. Seriously. No one has gotten that free album from Apple on... Boy, U2 is hurting. They can't even give away a free album to 1145 people. I don't know. Is it good? I haven't listened yet. Is it good? All right. How many people have heard it? Let me hear you clap. How many people have heard it? All right. How many people say, Brian, you should download it? How many people say, Brian, don't waste your time? No! Yeah, right. All right. Now the thing is, when we're going to seek, we have to be seeking places where we haven't been. We're not just seeking feelings. We've got to be seeking places, attitudes we haven't been. We have to be willing actually to go.
What if this year your future looked a little different? Someone handed you this. So you did a few of these and packed something like this. You left here for a place over here, or here, or here. And instead of a week on this guy, you spent a week with these guys. You ate less of this and more of this, and maybe even a little of this. You gave up this shirt for this one. You built this. You washed these. You celebrated them. You prayed with her. You held her. This year, come with us. It's a good year to go.
Wow. Man, those trips are great. Let me tell you why we're so encouraging of those trips. It isn't just because there's place in need and we feel like we can put some horsepower into helping places get to a new place. It's not just that. It's also, we've just learned that when you go someplace, you increase the opportunity of you going to the next place spiritually. I was working at a place a few years ago, and there was a guy. You know, don't we all? You know, we all know people who annoy us, right? We all know people who annoy us. Hopefully, it's not the person right beside you. But we all know people who annoy us. And one of my biggest pet peeves: people annoy me who are very loud about their religiosity, very, very loud. So there's one guy who was in this place where I was working at. He would come up to me and just be loud and. He was like loud, like trying to impress people that he had spiritual things to say or something like that. Well, whereas no one really wanted to hear what he said anyway. But I was doing something with legs or something. He comes up and goes, "Preacher!" That's exactly how I said, "Preacher!" I don't mind coming and calling me preacher. I do that for a living, and some people affectionately refer to me that. No worries. I said, "Preacher! Preacher, I got a girl who works for me, and she's going on one of your mission trips." I said, "Mission trip? Oh, go trip. Oh, yeah, good, great." He says, "Hey, you know, she hasn't been baptized." I was sitting there going, I was trying to figure that out. I forgot how this game works. That's right. And in most places, and I've been in this place before, to go on sort of a mission trip is sort of for the elites, the spiritual elites. So you've got to be able to like sign off on you believe all the doctrines the church believes. You've done all the things you needed to do. You know, you look nice. You're sort of our representative, you're our ambassador, and you got to have everything buttoned up and tied together, or at least look like it. And so it was really like a short summer. Like you would have somebody who's gone, who hasn't been baptized. And I said, "Yeah, we actually have atheists go on our mission trips." And he looked at me like, I said, "Yeah, we found that if you put people in a place that's outside of their normal place, it increases the likelihood they'll go to the next place spiritually. God gets bigger. We see things that we hadn't seen before." And so this stuff that we're talking about today in this series, so you know, this is stuff that's been through the DNA of Crossroads for 18 years. Actually, these categories I'm talking about are the things that we've structured ourselves for around here. And the fact that you're in here right now, in a dark room, and you could be out in the sunlight, shows that you're seeking. You're seeking. Well done. You've gone to a next place. You're on the move. That's good stuff. And we around here have way more excitement over someone who's gone from, on the spiritual maturity scale, 1 to a 3 in the last year than somebody who's been a 7 for 7 years in a row. Because the process, the progress is really honoring to God. The second place that we go to, the second stage, is where we receive. We start receiving. Paul hears this from Ananias. He connects the dot. He receives Jesus as the Messiah into his life. We don't know exactly how he does this. Does he say a prayer? Does he do what? We don't know, but he receives him as Jesus. And not only that, it says he stayed in Damascus for 3 days with the disciples in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. What was he doing for 3 days with the disciples? He certainly wasn't teaching them anything. He was receiving from them. He was receiving like old battle stories they had probably been through. He was receiving from them insights of what happens with the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He was receiving all different stuff. Receiving isn't a one-time thing, just like seeking is a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. He kept receiving things. And here's the thing. The first time you receive from God, the first time you receive Him, you are entered into a very rare growth window, because the younger you are in your faith, whether you're 70 or whether you're 20, the first steps, the first portion of your journey is going to set you up for success, or it's going to set you up for difficulty, because you're going to learn disciplines and attitudes that are going to serve you well, or you're not going to learn them, or you're going to learn the wrong ones, which are going to hurt you in the future. And there's so many times, we look at this over and over again, there's so many things that we see in the physical realm that mirror the spiritual realm. So many things. One of them is the younger you are in the physical realm, employers should by now have figured out, if you're in your 20-somethings, the most important thing to you is advancement. Not advancement like up, 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 but advancement in skills. That's just very common. Advancement in skills, advancement in opportunities to try new things. The older you are, you're less interested in advancement. You're just more interested in the paycheck. You're interested in that kind of stuff. That's just what the studies show. A TED talker by the name of Meg Jay. She's been a speaker with TED conferences, and she's got a book. She has some really great insights on this. She's from the University of Virginia as a clinical psychologist. She said this. She said, we know that 80% of life's most defining moments happen by age 35. Time for some of us to be very depressed right now. Yes. We know that 70% of lifetime wage growth happens in the first 10 years of a career. We know that more than half of Americans are married or living with or dating their future partner by 30. Our personalities change more in our 20s than any other time. Our fertility peaks. Our brain caps off its last growth spurts. The things that we do and the things that we don't do are going to have an enormous effect across years and across generations. So she says, basically, 20-somethings, this is important right now. Take advantage of where you are right now. And then she goes on to say in an interview with the Los Angeles Times and talking about her book, this little gem. She says, the 30-year-olds who feel betrayed by their 20s almost always ask, why didn't someone tell me this sooner, like when I graduated from college? So here goes. I'll even make it short enough to tweet. 30 is not the new 20. Don't be defined by what you didn't know or do. You're deciding your life right now. You know, this is relevant for those of us who are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. You're deciding your life right now. It's just that the sooner you become a receiver, the higher impact those choices have to set you up for things in the future. And hopefully it's going to be things that are going to set you up to do the next thing and serve you all the way until the time you are old.
I run 17 miles every morning. People ask me how I keep my teeth from chattering in the wintertime. I leave them in my locker.
Isn't that great? I think that was the very first Nike commercial. And then for the Just Do It campaign. And it really inspires us, right? Again, that's something in the physical realm that we can learn in the spiritual realm. Just get out and just get started. That's all we're trying to do right now. Wherever you are right now, don't be upset about lost opportunities or things that haven't worked out or where you wish you were. Right now, just take a step and go to the next place. The next place after this is where we become a follower. We start following. Now this is huge. This is a massive, massive demarcation. This little thing means a lot here. We'll talk about this various ways, but here's the deal. This intersection right here between receiver and follower, you want to talk about a wall, this is a double steel-enforced wall laced with kryptonite. It is like, bam. Very, very few people, ever become a follower. The majority of people in churches, I'm not talking about majority of people in America, I mean the majority of people in churches are right here. This is massive, breaking through and becoming a follower. What's the difference? Why is this so hard? Over on this side of the spiritual growth framework, what separates those who are here versus here? The main thing is that these people have given up negotiating with God. They're no longer negotiating with God. That's over. Over here, negotiation happens all the time, and it's understandable. I mean, you're seeking, you're going, who's God? I don't know if I like God, that God. I don't like who he is, or I don't know, I can't follow a God that's like that. And you wrestle with these things, like you're negotiating, and then when you're receiving, how many have said, or we've heard of people saying, God, if you'll only do X, then I will, like, give my life to you. If you'll only do Y, then I'll go out and live naked in the African Sahara and translate the scriptures for people or something. God, if you only do this, then I'll do that. And that's part of what you do when you're less spiritually mature. You negotiate. But the main demon is you give up negotiating with God. It's just like, really? That's something to do? Okay, I'll go. Bam. Really? That's what the scriptures say for me? Okay, I'll go. Really? I have a hard time? Okay, bam. I'm not going to like it. I mean, I understand it, but I'm actually going to go. And the crazy thing is, this isn't like a moralism thing of he's the moral people. It's that you get to a place of spiritual growth where if you're not doing that, you just stop growing. You just endlessly, as a seeker receiver, keep chasing your tail around. I'm seeking, give me. For you to grow, you have to start moving. Millard Fuller founded Habitat for Humanity. He was a follower of Christ. He was obviously a producer. And here's what he said. It's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than it is to think your way into a new way of acting. So he's saying there, spiritually, that's why Jesus says, follow me. He doesn't say, here's all the information you can have to figure out if you want to follow me. No, just follow me. We just start following, and you realize as you do that, your mind starts to shift, your emotions start to shift, your goals start to shift. And very few people see this level of growth, see this level of maturity. It's because of this wall. It's a huge one. And there's signs of this are everywhere. Everywhere. You know, this CrossRoads has been around for 18 years. We've done a number of series, and some series we repeat. We have different content, different sort of branding, but we got to cover topics over and over again. So one of the series that we do have done regularly for 18 years is we do a sex series every couple, 3 years or so, something like that. And you know, it's always predictable exactly what's going to happen. We start off at the beginning, people are like, oh my gosh, we're talking about sex in church. and attendance goes like, wee, you know, attendance is going up, up, up. Attendance, and then like around week two or three, it's like all of a sudden attendance, like, so funny because you do a section, it's going up, and it's like, that's what she said. Yes, yeah, it's going up. And then all of a sudden, about week two or three, it goes, and that's an intentional double entendre because then attendance goes down, 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 doobie, doobie, down, down. Because at the beginning, I can't believe we're talking about this in church. This is crazy. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a minute. God's telling me, or your opinion of God is telling me that I can't do the things that I'm doing and I like to do. I'm out of here. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're telling me, or at least your God's telling me, that I have to start doing the things I don't want to do. Whoa. And what happened? Everyone who's in negotiation mode, they drop off. Attendance goes down every single time. Why? Because when it comes to following, you have to figure out, do you want God or do you want the way you want things? Do you want God in his ways or do you want your in your ways? And all of us in the flesh would like us in our ways, but followers are growing because they're breaking through a wall. And they're saying, no, I'm just going the way of God. I'm going that way and I'm just going to follow. In fact, I'm not going to negotiate. I don't like it. I don't understand it. It's difficult, but I'm giving up negotiating with God. I'm going. And then eventually we become producers. We start producing. The Apostle Paul here goes and produces a majority of the New Testament writings. He was supernaturally inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's doing churches. I mean, you and I are never going to do that sort of stuff to his level, but gosh, people could be comforted in their time of affliction because of us. We're producing joy in them. People could come into their spiritual journey because of what we're saying. There could be new organizations that start, that God wants us to start, new businesses to start, that he wants to start because we're producing something that's of value. We're producing an asset. Now, here's the thing that's important. I want to give us handles to be able to work for ourselves, like to categorize where we are and to understand things. And these things we've been doing around here for a while, we've structured ourselves around here for this. I'm just sort of pulling back the veil a little bit. But the important thing for you to know is this. You never graduate out of one of these stages. You never do it. So this is not like different levels. Once you are a seeker, you are always a seeker. Once you're a seeker, you're always looking all the way through. When I'm not speaking at Crossroads and I'm off and I'm in town, I come to Crossroads Oakley because I live on Mount Lookout. It's the closest site of Crossroads, and so that's where I come here. And I'm seeking. I'm looking to see who's speaking. I'm looking to see what's happening in the services. I'm trying to see if I can see something of God, feel something of God. I'm still seeking, and I'm still receiving. To this day, I'm still receiving. I didn't just receive when I was 15, 16 years old when I first received Christ into my life. I'm still receiving right now. Why? Well, for starters, I sin way more than I wish I was, so I still have to receive forgiveness right now. You're going, like what kind of sins? Not going to tell you. I'm still receiving forgiveness right now. I'm still receiving grace from God right now. Gosh, I'll tell you about fifth service after a run through, six times I've done this, I'm constantly receiving strength from God saying, give me energy to do this yet again. I mean, I go on and on and on and on. I'm still receiving in every realm of life, and I'm still following. I can't just stop saying, oh yeah, I made that decision not to negotiate a long time ago. I've got to be aware of where are the things that God's going that he wants me to go. Where are the places I got to keep following while at the same time I'm still producing. I'm trying to be a producer. And so we're trying to dig in on where you are in these stages, honoring all of us at whatever stage we're in and getting the most out of the stage we're in and getting to the next place, getting to the place of maturity, which is the place of potency. It's the place of contentment. It's the place of power. One more verse for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 23. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil. In other words, be immature in the flesh. Be mature in your thinking, in your spirituality. But in your thinking, be mature. Right now, all I can influence is your thinking, because we've all been sedentary blobs of flesh. I mean flesh physically, not spiritually. We've been sedentary blobs in here for the last hour or so. I just want to get you thinking spiritually. Why? Because I want you to get ready to go to the next place spiritually. To walk out of here for this entire series, just to put one foot in front of the other.
Greatness. It's just something we made up. Somehow we've come to believe that greatness is a gift reserved for a chosen few, for prodigies, for superstars. And the rest of us can only stand by watching. You can forget that. Greatness is not some rare DNA strand. It's not some precious thing. Greatness is no more unique to us than breathing. We're all capable of it. All of us.
Big idea for today. There is no such thing as people who are born close to God. There is no such thing as people who have a leg up and have some inborn spiritual maturity gene. There is no such thing as naturally spiritually great people. There is no such thing. But there is such a thing as spiritually great people. There is such a thing as spiritually mature people. There is such a thing as people who are continuing to go to the next place and enjoying the benefits for it. And that's what I want for all of us, to go to the next place. Let me pray for you. Wherever stage, phase you may be in, I want to give you some handles right now as I pray for you. God, for those of us saying, well, actually, God, there's probably someone here who walked in the flesh, walked in not seeking. And perhaps something happened or triggered and a wall got broken through and we're seeking right now. So for all those who are seeking right now, give affirmation that they are on a unique path. We are on a unique path. I pray that you would reveal yourself in unique ways. Maybe something is going to happen on the radio tomorrow. Something a boss is going to say. But reveal yourself as we seek. Those who are receiving, thank you, God, for being so generous. You have more in your storehouses than we can ever receive. It just doesn't run out. Your grace doesn't run out. Your mercy doesn't run out. Your opportunities for engagement do not run out. Help those who are receiving to enjoy the goodness of you and to keep receiving. For those who are following, give us the perseverance to go just another step. give us the ability to break through yet another doubt, to just keep chugging along, and to know that we are not alone. We are not alone in all the history of the great ones, and we're not even alone in this room. There are others. And help us to sense that communal spirit and the call that you have. For those who are producing, I pray that you would give the producers great affirmation, because they're probably facing yet another test of faith. Oh no, do I want to say that to him again? Do I want to start one of those again? Because your journey causes those who are producers to keep needing to put their neck on the line. Help us to be able to see that and play for the long haul. I'd like us to sing this song that we did earlier. Robbie did a great job leading it earlier. I want to at least do a portion of this song, Rob. You can decide how much. Because I really think that now that we've just had this talk, if you will, I think the words of this song might be a bit more personal for us. And this could be anthemic. So why don't we stand and sing this together?
Sing "Lead Me."
Lead me. Lead me.
Okay, we're going to the next place. You are going to the next place. I believe that. We want to prepare you for that. So hey, let's go. Chop, chop. Come on. Chop, chop. You can do this. You can do this. You can hang in there. Come on. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Have a great week. Get growing. We'll see you next weekend.